things. I feel like I'm just, I feel like I ought to come down and sit down and just chat, because you're just all the same buds I hang around with every Sunday. I'm going to start with a word of prayer. Father, please help me, because I don't really understand too much. This is something different for me, and I'm not really sure what's going on. But you do, God. But you do. The last song we sang about how great is our God. The funniest things grab hold of me these days. All will see how great is our God. All we'll see. How do we worry about things? Why do we do that? Why can't we rest in the omnipotence of God? Hallelujah. That wasn't even on the list of anything to talk about. But all will see. It overwhelms me sometimes, you know? Anyway, this is really something different for me. It's not like a sermon, and I don't even have any notes. I might have maybe a little something, but this is something that happened to me. And it kind of started about Clyde a couple of weeks ago, and I think he was taking up the offering, and he happened to mention during that time, he said, "Fear is not welcome in my home." And I just kind of, wow, that's pretty strong. And I thought, wow. Anyway, we're going to get back to that. That's the end of the story. That week, then, I saw I don't even remember where. It was somewhere on Facebook, and it was something about maybe somebody was having a Zoom class or something, you know, and it pops up, and it said, "Decree and declare, decree and declare." And the word decree kind of popped up at me. And I thought, you know, I don't really know too much about what exact, I know it has something to do with passing a law or something like that. And I got to thinking about that word, and I went and I looked it up, and it's kind of an Old Testament word. And, you know, back in the Old Testament, there were lots of kings. And the kings would want laws passed. And so the kings, and I kind of picked out in Esther. You know, there were really a lot of decrees back in the Old Testament. And there were a lot of kings, and there were, you know, some of these were good ones, some of them were bad ones. There were two in Esther. One was really terrible, and then one was really good at the beginning and at the end. And this king, Ahasuerus, I think that's the way you say his name. He said, the king's scribes were called in on the 13th day of the first month, and a decree was written. It's written on parchment, according to all that Haman commanded. Now, Haman was not the king. Haman was the nasty underling of the king. And to the king's satraps, to the governors who were over each province. So there were governors over each province. I don't know how many, but there's probably a lot of them. And to the officials of all people, and to every people in their language, in the name of King Ahasuerus, it was written and sealed with the king's signet ring. Now, you guys know the story about, you know, Esther and Haman talked the king into saying that on a certain day, all of the enemies of the Jews were going to go out and kill them, and the Jews were not even allowed to fight back. And I got to thinking about this, and I thought, this king wanted to pass a law, and it had to go down through all of the governors, and in order to show that it was under the authority, because anybody could write a bunch of junk on parchment, you know, and go out and say, this is, you know, it was sealed with the king's signet ring. Nobody had that except the king. And so then all of these other people went out and announced, they probably opened it up, nailed it on the doorpost of the temple or whatever, you know, somewhere. And the people all read it, and they better have given the governor and the official who was there in the name of the king with the, you know, with the seal of the signet on the piece of paper that they were reading, they better have given him the respect due the authority that he came in. Okay. And then later on, an interesting thing, you know, when then the good guys got a hold of the king, and you guys know the story, and they got Haman, and they didn't, you know, and Esther went in to see the king, and she found favor in his sight and all that stuff. And so she kind of got his ear, and she told him about the plight of the Jews and all of that. And he said, and that king said, it said, "You yourselves write a decree concerning the Jews as you please." In other words, he gave to Mordecai the power to write a new decree, stopping the first decree, because he said, tell him to seal it with the king's signet ring, for whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring, no one can revoke. And the king was saying that even that first decree that he sent out, it could not be revoked. It had already gone out under the seal of the king, and it was sent out throughout all the land. And so that's the way that went. So Mordecai then got to write a new law, not revoking the old law, because that was not allowed. But he did say that on the certain day, the king, the Jews could fight back. Am I right? Was there more? Anyway, then the Jews did not, you know, get wiped out, and he made Mordecai, and everybody lived happily ever after. That's the way, you know, that's the story of that. And that's, you know, where I went that day, looking into decree and declare, decree and declare. And I thought, you know, he's a king and he got to make a decree. And I thought, I serve a king. Oh, sorry, I thought I had this on. I serve a king, and you know what? My king, he gives me decrees in my heart, and he seals them with the Holy Spirit. But you know what? My king never talks to me about law. He never does. He sends me love notes. He sends me love notes between him and I. And do you know why he never talks about the law? Because Christ, it's always about Christ. Christ died once and for all. Once and for all. And so when my king talks to me, he says, there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There isn't any condemnation. It's all been paid. It's gone. We don't talk about the law anymore. We talk about all we'll see. All will see. All will come. My king tells me things like, Godliness with contentment is great gain. What else does he? I wrote down a few things. Perfect love casts out fear. He talks to me about choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. See? Does your king send you little decrees, little love notes? Does anybody have any that they would share? Just throw one out there. Tell me a promise that God has said to you lately.
I will be with you always.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Anybody else? I will never forsake you. Wow. Well, that kind of brings me then to Jesus also said, because I'm going to be with my Father, you will do things as great as I and even greater things. And that brings me full circle to Clyde and what I heard him say. Father, does that mean we have the authority to decree? Wow, I kind of like that. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Fear has no place. He's not welcome in my home. He's given us that authority, sealed by the Holy Spirit. And we have the authority to speak. I hate to say this, but this is about all I had to share with you today. But it's what God gave me. I told you this is a little bit weird. I don't remember why. I can't figure out why that all grabbed a hold of me so much, but it surely did. You coming up here? Are you coming up here to talk?
No.
Oh, okay. You sure you don't want to give me a little love note that God speaks to your heart? Is it too private? Go ahead.
God's love note to me, it's from a show and it resonates with me. It's just be curious, not judgmental.
Hallelujah. Be curious and not judgmental. That's one of the things that we really talked about in Sunday school this morning. I know Oscar has a love note.
You know, Kathy, I was thinking when you was talking about the king's decree.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to realize who God says we are. And, you know, he says that we are kings and priests unto God.
Amen.
And he is the King of Kings. And Scripture tells us that we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise.
Yeah.
And that word for sealed there means we've been stamped with that signet ring that you're talking about, because that's what that actually means. And, you know, we've already got that seal. And as long as we decree and declare something that is according to his purpose, we have that authority. We have the same authority that Jesus had, because we are kings and priests unto God, and he's the King of Kings. He's the King over us.
Amen.
But you know, I like that. I like what you were saying there, and I like even what Clyde said the other day about declaring that basically that fear was not allowed in his house.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, sometimes we don't take the authority that God has already given to us. Mm-hmm. And we have a tendency to kind of sit back and want someone else to give us that authority. And a lot of times we have a lot more authority, more power, more, I don't know exactly how to put it, I don't know the word to actually say, but we actually have that authority because we've already been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We have that signet ring stamped into our lives, so that authority is there as long as we speak according to to the will of God, whatever he would have us say. And I'm telling you, even you said the little love notes that the Lord gives you, when he gives you those little love notes, you can decree and declare them.
Amen.
And they are so. Because anything that he speaks to your heart, it is already done, whether or not you see it in the natural for a while or whatever. It's already been accomplished. Just like Jesus said on Calvary, he said, it's finished.
Yes.
And, you know, the works were finished from the foundation of the world, the scripture declares. So, you know, whether a lot of times with us, we want to see something happen right away. And that's not always the way God works. But if we will decree and declare the things he drops into our heart, then stand back. And having done all to stand.
Yes.
And let him unfold it in his time when it's the right purpose and time. Then we'll see the glory of God. And I'm going to tell you, there's coming a time when the glory of God is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea.
Yes.
And we're going to be a part of that. And we're going to be a part of that sonship that comes forth and sets creation free. And until we learn to take the authority that God has given us, we can't really be a part of that because we're walking below the authority that he's already given us.
That's amen. That's right.
Okay. That's all I had to say.
That's what I meant to say.
You stirred all that up in me there, girl.
That's I knew there was something weird about what I about this whole thing today, but I knew that it was going to be a group thing, not a me thing.
Kathy, I say this every night. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I want to be that word that is an action word, not a reaction, an action word. So we have to speak with authority as the oracles of God has given us in a positive realm where it's not positive thinking, it's identity thinking. You know that you know that you know him that created heaven and earth dwells within you. And he wants you to speak it. No wonder he's giving me
calling those things
that aren't.
Hallelujah.
As they are, because I believe I see God smiling so much that if we'll speak it into, it will become into existence just like God spoke it into existence. The creation of heaven and earth dwells within us. If we have something come into our house or our neighborhood, speak to it with the authority of God and watch God take care of it. I believe that's positive. I believe that's exactly what happens. I mean, you know, I could tell you, I had a tremendous mother. I could tell you things that she had done. I was sick one night. She come over and put her hands on me. I don't know what she prayed, but I do know who she prayed to. I mean, you kind of wake up the next morning, you don't feel nothing. I mean, no pain, you know, nothing. You know, you could do the old saying, who do you appreciate? I learned to appreciate my mom's prayers, but I remember, I know that I know that I know I appreciate who she prayed to. And I think that's what we need to remember. I mean, you know, you get excited about things, but God has worked on our behalf, and how many times have we not known it? He works on our behalf. He don't withhold any good thing to them that it is due. Now, I know I'm talking to a crowd sitting in here thinking, you mean, yeah, you know the time you thought, well, I thought I was due that? Well, keep on thinking that. Because when God brings it about, it's a great treasure. I mean, we don't satisfy for the little thing. It's a great treasure. You know, let God be seen and, you know, anyway.
Debbie, got something?
No.
Okay.
I got it.
Come on.
So, Saturday I went and got my hair cut. Now, this conversation is kind of strange how it all happened.
That's good.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. Well, I got a really unique barber. So, I get in there and the lady looks at me and it's terrible that I can't remember her name. Every time I got to ask, when I go there to get my hair cut, who cut my hair the last time? Anyway, So she's talking to me, you know, she's, we're, we've kind of got to know each other over the years, and she says, so what do you know for Easter? And I said, well, I mean, I'll be going to church, you know. And she goes, oh, what church do you go to? I said, oh, I go to a church up, you know, right off Tyler's River Road. It's a non-denominational church. She goes, oh, I go to, I was raised Catholic. I said, really? I said, I don't really understand Catholicism that much, you know. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. She said, why is that? Oh, Lord, here it comes. I said, listen, I'm not trying to say nothing bad about Catholicism or the concept of the sacraments and all the things that are part of, you know, the Catholic beliefs, you know. I said, but some things just, to me, are not scriptural. You know, the concept of going in a box and telling this guy that, you know, you've sinned, and then he's got to give you something to do. Two Our Fathers and five Hail Marys, and then you got to, you know, go do the 13 stations of the cross and all the things that are part of that. I don't get it, you know. And she said, well, I don't really understand it either. I said, well, it's like as if the blood of Christ wasn't strong enough to cover your sins. It's almost like they're saying that in kind of a sense, you know. I feel like they're kind of putting you in a position where you're constantly guilty of something, you know. There's no way of getting to the point where you perceive forgiveness, that it's real. Because if it's a gift and it's real, you know, I said, if you understand the blood of Christ and what really happens in the context of the crucifixion, and then you've got to go back to Genesis. And she went, wow. And I said, well, you know, you have to look at Cain and Abel. I said, we serve a God that hears blood cry out. And she goes, I ain't never heard this before. I said, well, you know, Cain slayed Abel, right? You know, isn't that the way the story goes? And she said, yeah. I said, well, God asked Cain, you know, where is my brother? Where's your brother, right? You know, where's Abel? And, of course, what did Cain say? You know, I don't have a clue. It's not my day to watch him, right? And basically, but God told in Scripture clearly that he hears his blood. We serve a God that can hear blood speak. And Scripture tells us that the life is in the blood, in all animals, all people, you know. That's where the life is. And so that's the reason why the sacrifice, when you come to the New Testament, is so important. But what's really important is to understand that the blood that Christ sacrificed and left here on earth is still crying out for your forgiveness as we speak today. And it always will be here on this planet, crying out for your forgiveness. And God, the God we serve, can hear blood speak. So you're always forgiven. And most people don't understand that every person on earth that exists to this day is totally forgiven. They just don't know how to accept it. And they were like, and of course, the room got quiet. And I'm like, okay, I better read the room. We need another conversation here. It's kind of interesting how it all worked out.
You got something?
Oh, sort of. You guys are my church family, so I guess I could say this. Recently, the Lord's put on me to try dating again. It's been many years, and my prayer with this is that I don't hurt anyone or God puts the right person in my life. So
we'll keep you in prayer.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh.
I want to say that how each day we have choices as soon as we arise. And when Mark spoke that time on I choose joy. And so when I wake up in the morning, I think of this and choose joy, because the scripture says that in his presence,
yes,
is fullness of joy, and that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So I look at that each day, you know, upon a rise, and we have choices every day, where we're at, even during the day, and what do we choose? And what so stands out to me is choosing joy, mm-hmm, and his presence, and wanting so to be in his presence all day, everywhere, mm-hmm, you know, we are.
That's God's little love note,
yes,
to you every day.
Yes.
Now we'll say to Frankie, wait upon God.
Let God give you who he has for you, because I wasn't even looking for someone, and God gave me Buddy. And I thank God for that, knowing him since he's in the first grade, but so many things have happened all through the years. But God has his time, and he has the one he's preparing for you.
Well, obviously, Buddy required a lot of preparation. Buddy, would you like to stick up for yourself? Or?
You got to go home with me.
Mike, you got something?
Nope.
Okay. Anybody else? God bless us all.
Yes.
God keeps sending us those love notes. Because, you know, contentment with godliness, it just, I mean, that's another thing that's just been going through my mind over and over. Godliness with contentment. Wow. Is there anything else? Is there a car that you could buy that would satisfy you more than that? Don't you answer. It would satisfy some part of you for a day and a half until it got dirty or dented, or the price of gas went up more, or whatever. Anyway, God bless you all. I just felt so strongly to just share that with you. It was kind of silly. The first week, I was so high on it that I almost called Oscar and said, I gotta talk. But then we waited another week, and I thought, the longer you wait, you think, oh, it's kind of silly. But it wasn't silly. It's God. It's God speaking to us. It's those love notes. He loves us so much. Someday, all will see. Oh, yes.
I never thought God would come into the places I went to before I truly believed. He didn't come in. Because when you're bad, I'm using the word bad. When you're not a Christian and you're just bad through and through,
to the bone,
you don't think he would come around.
Mm-hmm. But praise his name, he does. He finds a way.
Well,
to make you recognize the hole that's in you.
I come around.
Oh.
You know, I was busy doing my thing. And you certainly don't want God in your conversation with somebody. I mean, it's not very nice. Now, a bad person can say that. I don't want him to hear this bad conversation. So you really don't want him around when you're doing things.
You
but
hide.
You don't know why. Why?
Exactly why Adam and Eve said, Lord, don't come near me, I'm naked. And God said, hey, who told you you were naked? You know, you gotta be careful who you listen to these days. And now you're neither good or bad. You are God's property. And you are a part of his family. Hallelujah.
Yes. And you are, but you don't think you are.
Well, I think you are.
Well, when I heard the true meaning of God, something just went crazy at me. I mean, when he gives you a little bit, you know, to get you started.
One of those little love notes?
Yeah.
And he says, I love you.
He don't care for me. I'm not that good.
Because you're listening to somebody lie to you.
Well, but I wasn't that good.
That's okay.
To talk to decent people. Then, as time went on, those decent people were just like anybody else.
Amen.
I mean, I was as good as that person. And then what I kept hearing the word, I went to church. Of course I went to church. And I didn't hear anything. It was boring, you know, to hear all these people talking. You know, they didn't do half the things they talked about. But it sounded good to them. Oh, I did this and that. But when I really heard the word, something inside of me said, you are good.
Oh, yes. Amen.
You are as good as they are.
Praise God.
When I hear that word, when I came to some place that spoke the word.
Oh, baby, God bless you. God bless you, honey.
Oh. I love who I am now. I really do. I am the person that I talked about when I was not good. So,
you know what's really scary about that is that we all understand exactly what she's saying. We've all been there. It's a progression. It's a process.
I never knew I could be friends with something like that.
No one will say who she's pointing to. Hallelujah. Well, let's close in a word of prayer, okay? Oscar, will you lead us in a word of prayer?
Sure. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your words, for they are truly spirit and life. And Father, this even this sharing today, help us to realize who we are and what authority and what power we have. In your name, Father, thank you for what you've had everyone share here today, because it's been wonderful. And you know, the thing about us never feeling like we're good enough, we're not good because of what we've done. We're good because of what you did, and because of who we belong to, which is you, Father. And I just thank you for what you're doing, and even the revelation that you're bringing to each of our hearts as you speak to us on a daily basis. And I just ask you to Father, to help us begin to start, as your Spirit moves upon us, to decree and to declare. And as we do that, then I believe things will begin to happen and changes will begin to come even into the earth, Father. And sometimes the decreeing and declaring has to be, first of all, in our own lives and in the things around us. And then it will move out into the earth. and your word never returns void. So I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for Kathy, for sharing her what you've placed on her heart today, and for each individual sitting out here, the things that they've said. And I just give you all the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.